Well, we are back with our two-hour edition today of Cooking in the Dark. This is where you would hear Blind Like Me, and that's what you're hearing. And we've already done 1 hour. And I guess if you were listening on Saturday, this will repeat. If you just joined us for Blind Like Me, then the first hour would repeat right after this one. So they will just run in sequence all day long. So if you missed the first hour, just stay tuned, and we'll tell you about all the good things we're cooking. Of course, Dale Campbell is with us. Dale?
Bill,
yes,
welcome
sir.
Back.
Welcome back.
To everybody that was with us earlier, hey, where y'all been? We've had all kinds of things going on in the kitchen
so far.
We have got the turkey, which is just turkey in a way. It's beginning to smell really nice in here. The crock pot stuffing, I just stirred it up while we were gone. It's, it was tempting not to dig into that already. I also finished up that chocolate raspberry almond cheesecake we were talking about earlier. It's in the oven cooking away, and so is the pecan pie.
What a deal.
Now, I think we left just before we had a chance to really go over the recipe for the pecan pie, but there's not much to it. It's pretty simple. It is 1 cup of maple syrup, and make sure you use pure maple syrup. You don't want to use any of that pancake syrup. 1/2 cup of packed brown sugar, 3 eggs beaten, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and basically you mix all those ingredients up and add about 1 1/2 cups, 1 1/4 cups, about 1 1/4 cups of either crushed or halved pecans.
Okay.
And you just put that into an unbaked pie shell and bake it in a 350-degree oven for about 35 to 40 minutes. And as we speak, it is in there with the turkey and the cheesecake.
And that's pretty simple.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Very delicious. I've had to memorize all these recipes, y'all. My sighted help today was going to help me read these recipes that we've been doing between the last hour and this hour. And she had some car trouble, so we weren't able to hook up. So I'm kind of doing it by memory and trying to, there's a lot of ingredients.
And using your little digital recorder.
Yes, I have been doing that as well.
Yeah.
And I was prompting myself before we came back from the break, but everything is looking really well. I also mixed up the beer batter roll we're going to be doing. And in that, again, for those that were with us earlier, remember it was 3 cups. Of self-rising flour, cup of sugar, and 1 beer. And no, I did not get to have a beer for myself. I've been busy in here.
but we've got it
all mixed up, and we're waiting for it to double in size. Once it doubles in size, probably during the next break, we'll beat it back down, whip it back up, and then divide it up and put it in the muffin tins that are going to be pretty heavily greased, and then they'll be ready to go in the oven once that turkey comes out in a little while.
And when you bake those in the oven, those muffin tins, that will rise again also, right?
Yes. Sure will. So we should end up with some really nice big muffins.
Big soft muffins. So
I'm really looking forward to those. Hey, while we're back real quick, what do you say we make that cranberry relish?
Let's do that. Jalapeno cranberry relish.
Cranberry relish. You know, since we're doing this show in Texas, and folks, I don't know about you up there, Phil, but it's Texas, isn't it? Nice and hot here.
Actually,
I don't know where it went, but it didn't last long when it came through.
It's pouring down rain up here.
Is it?
Oh, man. Oh,
wow.
It's coming to you. Trust me.
Okay, send it on down. We'll be ready.
All right.
All right. This cranberry relish, it's nothing more than 12 ounces, which is 1 bag of fresh cranberries. Or you can use frozen cranberries if you want. But I've taken them, washed them, dumped them in the food processor. And we're going to pulse them down, chop them all up nice and neat.
All right, there we go.
I tell you know, we've talked about it before, Phil. These food processors, they sure make life easy.
If you're a cooker, you need one, and they're not that expensive.
No, they're very inexpensive. Again, the model I have, I picked up at, I believe, Target. Went out just shopping. I do suggest going and getting a little hands-on, though, and just seeing what they are and making sure that it's something that you'll be able to use and feel comfortable with, because there's so many different models.
Yeah.
Some have buttons here and there and every which where. And
different.
Okay, I've pulled the cranberries. Going to dump them into a bowl. And then we're going to take a whole lime, and you want to just cut it up into chunks. And
now, do you peel that first?
No, leave the peel on.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to put it in the old processor here, pulse it down, and then we're going to add, being in Texas, we got to have a jalapeno in the show.
Yeah.
We're going to add 2 seeded and minced jalapenos.
Okay, so you've already cut them up.
Yeah, they're already sitting here ready to go.
Okay.
And then we're also going to add about 1/4 cup of chopped up cilantro.
Now, you're going to do all this in the food processor at the same time?
No, the directions say not to do that.
Hmm.
So, I've already chopped up the cilantro and the jalapeno.
Uh-huh.
And I've dropped the lime in right now. Let me find where I put the lid at.
Hit the button.
The lid is a very important aspect to this food processor.
It won't run if it's not on.
No, it sure won't.
Won't you?
All right. You know, while we were gone earlier, I did this with the chocolate chips.
Yeah.
That I was going to melt and put on top of the key lime pie that we did.
So you just chopped them up?
Yeah, I put them in here, pulsed them down till they were pretty fine little, just a powder, just little shells, and then sprinkled those on top of the cheesecake and kind of let them melt in place.
So you could hear that food processor as its job became easier as it began to mince up that lime.
It's so easy for the blind to use this because it is. It's totally, you can hear anything you're doing. Earlier when we did the stuffing, you know, with the onions and the celery and everything that needed to be chopped up, instead of sitting there for hours chopping up all these onions, cut them into quarters, drop them in the food processor, pulse it a couple times, and you can actually feel the unit not vibrate as much and also hear it not, you don't hear the chunks.
But now, you have to be careful because if you leave an onion in there long enough, you'll end up with onion soup.
Yes, you will.
It will.
You don't want to overdo it. Okay.
Yeah.
We are adding the jalapeno and the cilantro. Mm-hmm. Going to stir this up and stick it in the refrigerator. Let me wash my hands here. Tell you what, the lime juice will definitely let you know where you've nicked yourself at with a knife.
Which you did this morning.
Yes, I did.
We just want to point that out because, you know, if you're cooking, sighted people do this all the time. I've cut yourself all the time. You know?
Yeah, it's nothing new.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
Hope you make sure it's enough there to sew it back on if you cut it too deep.
Yeah, just.
No, we don't want to know that. Yeah, it doesn't happen that often. And I tell you all the truth, the way I cut myself this morning was reaching in the gosh darn dishwasher to pull out the slicing blade for the food processor.
Okay.
And I cut myself on the edge of the corner of the blade, same place I cut myself when I first unloaded that crazy thing when I was taking it out of the box. So it bit me twice. It's ahead, 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0.
All right, Phil. We've got the cranberry relish done. We've got the beer, bread, muffin rolls, whatever you want to call them, over here rising. And we've got the cheesecake in the oven. The key lime pie is out and in the refrigerator chilling. I guess I'll talk to you in a little while.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll be back to take our turkey out of the oven. Is that what we're going to do?
We'll have at that time the sides ready. So, folks, we'll see you all in just a few minutes, but we're going to hit the fast-forward button.
All right.
All right, Cooking in the Dark with Dale and Phil. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Blinds. Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now with this week's Blindsight, here's Don Shaw.
Have you ever been researching something on the computer or just want to take a look at a large group of sites, websites for one reason or the other, for some certain subject that you're dealing with? Well, I've known about a place from time to time that I go to called WebRing. And it's a ring of sites, sites on, just every conceivable subject. Actually, one of the things it does is if you have your own web page, it's a good way to get your web page some exposure. And that's a lot of what are in these web rings are individual web pages. Like there is a huge web ring of blind related web pages and just different individual web pages on, well, just every subject you can think of along with websites. Anyway, if you're interested in researching groups of web pages and websites all grouped together in an area, go and check out www.webring.com. I'll have to give them a reader friendliness rating of a 7. Until next time, I'm Don Shaw. Keep on web sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights.
Well, in case you just joined us, we've been doing a lot of cooking today, and I mean real cooking, not cooking like playing music or cooking like he's really cooking. We've really been cooking today. It's been cooking in the dark for 2 hours. If you missed the first hour, it will be on in place of the Blind Handyman. So if you're listening on Saturday, or listening anytime, I suppose, it will repeat after this. In other words, if you're listening to this hour, you just stay tuned and the first hour will come right up. Does that make any sense to anybody? Doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, Dale Campbell is with us. Dale, how are you, sir?
I am doing great, Phil. I am doing great. We have got Thanksgiving dinner coming right along. We have the turkey is almost done. We're about ready to take it out of the oven. We've got some side items that we're getting ready to put together. In fact, while we were on our little break there, I went ahead and finished up making up the potatoes, getting those ready to be mashed. They're on the stove, getting ready to boil.
Okay.
Just about 3.5 pounds of russet potatoes, and we peeled them.
All right.
And
cut them up
into smaller chunks, about 2-inch chunks.
All right.
Put them in a big pot, covered them just so there was about 1 inch or so of water over the top of the potatoes.
You put any salt on them?
No? Salted and peppered them.
Peppered them already.
Yeah,
okay.
So they'll kind of boil in. I've just got kind of a habit of putting a little salt in water. Whenever I put it on the boil, I always add a little salt.
I do too, for some reason.
I don't know if that's just old grandma coming out in me or what. it's all good. So we're going to let those boil once they come up to a boil, for about 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, turn them on.
And they'll be boiling, they'll be nice and soft. And at that point, we'll add about a half a stick of butter to them and whip them up with a mixer, with an electric mixer. And then we'll add a little milk to them to soften, to smooth them out a little bit, bring them down to our texture.
So we're making actually just plain old mashed potatoes.
Just plain old mashed potatoes. Yeah, once you start mashing them, you can add garlic if you would like, or you can add cheese to them, or you can, some people add salad dressings like blue cheese or ranch to them, and even in place of the milk and the butter, just to give them a different texture and flavor. You know, one suggestion, there's even a soup out on the market, of course, that's comes in a package. And one brand is Bear Creek. It's like a French onion soup that you add a couple teaspoons of that to the water while they're boiling to flavor the potatoes.
Wouldn't hurt a thing.
Gives them a nice little taste. The other thing we're going to be doing in this little segment is sweet potatoes. Basically, all that is 3 cans of 15-ounce sweet potatoes. If you want, you can bake sweet potatoes ahead of time and use those.
Uh-huh.
You would bake them and then peel them and mash them up just like you would regular old potatoes. But I went the easy route and just bought canned sweet potatoes. To that, we're going to add a half a stick of butter. We're going to add a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg, some salt. And basically beat those all up, mix them all up, mash them all up until they're nice and smooth, put them in a casserole dish, and at that point it's your option. You can either cover them with marshmallows, which a lot of people like to do, or you can use some pure maple syrup and cover it, with mm-hmm. little maple syrup on top and bake those for about 15 to 20 minutes in a 350-degree oven, and that's very simple. The last little item is so delicious, and it's so easy, y'all. It is nothing more than a green bean casserole, and that's a package of frozen green French green beans, which it's a 16-ounce package, 1 can of cream of mushroom soup, 1 can of chicken broth, one can of water chestnuts, an 8-ounce can of sliced water chestnuts, and some French onions, and that's it. You take the French green beans, the soup, and the chicken broth, put that in a bowl. Actually, I would put the chicken broth and the soup in first, mix it all up. Once it gets a nice, you know, gets blended real nicely, add the green beans, add the water chestnuts, and then pour that into a nice well-greased casserole dish and cover it with French onions, and cover it, you know, put a lid on it, on the casserole itself, pop it in the oven, bake it for about 25 or 30 minutes. It comes out, uncover it, put it back in for another 10 minutes to crisp it up, and voila, it's
bingo, done.
That's all there is to it.
All right.
So I hear our potatoes boiling, you know, getting ready to come up to a boil. So I think what I'll do is go ahead and whip up the green beans real fast.
You're not ready to take out the turkey?
Not just yet. What I think I'm going to do is just to ensure that, I know with it being in that bacon bag, we're not going to have any problems at all with it coming out dry.
Okay.
And with a turkey, I would just assume before I pull it out and, you know, open the bag and stick the thermometer in it to check the temperature and all that stuff,
yeah,
just give it a couple extra minutes.
Okay, so we're going to whip up what now?
I think we're going to go ahead and do the green bean casserole.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
And I'm reaching in for a casserole dish, so if we hear any crashing and banging.
Now, you're talking about one of these long, oblong casserole dishes that everybody has.
Actually, the one I'm using, it's a two-quart casserole dish,
okay,
and it's a round one.
Well, it's a round one, okay.
I think it was one of those freebies that you get you know, for filling out a credit card application.
I think I have one.
Yeah, they're pretty nice, pretty easy to use. Find a little counter space there, set that guy down, get us our bowl out here. The first thing I'm going to do is, in the bowl, I'm going to open up the chicken broth,
okay,
and the cream of mushroom soup.
All right. With your...
Pop those in the bowl and mix, kind of whip those together. Then after we do that, we'll add the green beans and the, whoops, that's the chestnuts. There's the soup.
Okay.
All right. Hey, have you been to that website that Shelley Prowse has going, that product access website lately?
I have not, sir. Tell us about that.
She emailed me, and they have added, they were up to almost 750 products, which the product access is nothing more than just a website to where they have products that you buy in the grocery store and the, you know, the directions that are on them.
Yeah.
Online. So you can get on there. If there's a product you've bought, be it, you know, pudding, or be it a rice-a-roni or something like that, that you have some questions on how to make it, just go to their website, and they have probably got it listed. They have a lot of products up there.
They have directions for cooking these things.
Yes, they have the actual box, the directions that are actually on the boxes on there for them to cook.
I remember hundreds of years ago when I was a young fella, that was about 40 years ago, calling the information operator one night when I was by myself and asking her how to cook frozen French fries. And she said, you know, I finally convinced her, I'm totally blind, I cannot read the directions, I have these, I'd like to cook them, and she told me how to cook them. This back when you actually got somebody at directory assistance.
Yes, yes.
And
you know, we find angels all over the place, don't we?
Yeah, back then you could. Now it's a little more difficult. But Shelley's website, you don't have the URL, do you? I mean the address.
No, I sure don't. It is on the website at Blind My Smart.
Okay.
It's also at the bottom of all of the emails on the Cooking in the Dark list.
Okay.
So if you're a member of Cooking in the Dark, if you'll scroll to the bottom of the message in the footer area. If they are right there, her web address is, it's a product access link.
Uh-huh.
If you're not a member of Cooking in the Dark, you need to be.
You're
missing out on a lot of good information and a lot of good chatter. And more than that, you're missing out on some wonderful, wonderful people. You know those Cooking in the Dark aprons we put together, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
We sold out of them.
Really?
So there's a lot of people that will be making Thanksgiving dinner looking like me, dressed with their mouth on their apron.
So it's time to order some more of those, I guess.
Yes, it sure is. In fact, I have got a call in to the printer. I'll be talking to him as soon as we get done doing our show today.
So that's it's Cooking in the Dark at Topica, TOPICA.com.
Yeah. And if you're not subscribed, the subscription is just Cooking in the Dark -subscribe at Topica.com. All lowercase, all scrunched together, no spaces.
How much traffic are you getting? 15, 20 minutes?
Oh, we're down. Yeah, we're not bad. Weekends are a little heavier, of course, but.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, I'd say, yeah, about 15, 20 messages, something like that.
Yeah.
Claudia, one of the list members, is just she posted a bunch of different casserole dishes and things. So there was heavy traffic. But one thing the list folks are real good about doing is changing their subject line to indicate what they're actually talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a subject line that you don't want to follow anymore and
just
it
go
changes,
down. Yeah.
You know, you'll know that it's changed. If there's a subject line that you're really interested in, you know, everybody's really good about that. Okay, I've added the cream of chicken soup, cream of mushroom soup, excuse me, not chicken, and the chicken broth. I know there's a chicken in there somewhere.
And you're using a little hand mixer here now, or what was that?
No, I'm running the can opener here, just opening everything up and draining it. I've opened the package of French green beans and put those into the soup and the broth that was already mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Put the chestnuts in. Now I'm going to mix those in. And we're ready to pour this in our casserole dish.
Okay.
Cover it with the French onions.
And we're going to...
And get it ready to put in the oven as soon as we...
Stick it in the oven at the same temperature
everything's got at around 350 to cook at, which is really nice. And again, these dishes are pretty forgiving, so... 350, 375, it's not going to make that big of a difference on them.
Our key lime pie that you did a while ago, it's nesting in the refrigerator.
Yes, it is in the refrigerator chilling. It's going to be delicious.
Oh, it is.
Cheesecake, while we were gone, it's since come out of the oven, and I've released the ring from around it. It's setting up really nicely. I had some almonds left over that we used, you know, for the bottom,
uh-huh.
And I sprinkled those on top. And it'll be about another 15 or 20 minutes, and I'll be putting it in, covering it, and putting it in the refrigerator to chill.
Now, where is it now?
It's sitting on a wire rack, cooling next to the stove, actually.
Okay. And
so they said to let it cool about 15 minutes, and then use a knife to
remove
kind of release, just to run around the edge of the springform pan to release the side.
Uh-huh.
And then after I did that to kind of just break it loose, I went ahead and flipped the lever on the front that holds the springform pan can, you know, kind of together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I released the lever, it was loose. So I'm letting it sit. It said to let it sit it out another 30 minutes, and then you can take the side off, cover it, and put it in the refrigerator to chill until dinner.
Okay. Now, what about those rolls that we did? Where are they?
They are still rising. They have not yet doubled in size.
Okay.
So I'm kind of concerned about those. I'm actually wondering if I'd ask for self-rising flour at the grocery store.
And you're thinking...
I'm wondering if I was actually given self-rising flour or not. Because it's actually a reaction that will happen between the yeast in the beer and the flour and sugar to make the dough rise and expand. But the last time I checked it, I've got it sitting on top of the stove, and it's still exactly where it was at before.
No, so you think they may have given you the wrong kind of flour?
I think that's what happened. I think I was, unfortunately, it happens quite a bit. Sometimes you'll ask for something and they give you something else.
But you were at the store with Candace.
Sorry?
You were not at the store with Candace?
No, I was by myself.
Whoa, so they may, and you didn't ask her to look, I guess.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. If they did, they did, and it's happened before.
Sure.
I guess one of the things of being blind, huh?
Yeah, it's part of being blind.
Heck, I remember when I was sighted, too, I'd get home and, why did I grab that, you know?
Yeah.
Ended up grabbing, just look at one thing and grab something else, or sometimes things are stacked together, so you don't know, you know, you're not exactly sure. Oh, well, it's all good. Accidents happen, and I'm sure it wasn't done on purpose.
I'm sure not. We would hope not.
Yeah. Hey, while we were taking our first break, the mailman came, and guess what he had? He had some coffee for us from the Unseen Bean.
The Unseen Bean.
So
is
I've
that
got
right?
some fresh ground Kona and some Guatemalan and I believe some Jamaican are the three brands of coffee I ordered.
Is that right?
So I'll be looking very much to having a cup of coffee after dinner tonight. He roasts these coffees, you know. I mean, you
yeah.
call an order, he's got the beans green. And you can pretty much tell him if you want a light roast, if you want a heavy roast, if you want a dark roast,
yeah.
know, medium roast, how you want them roasted. He'll grind them or he'll sell them to you whole beans. So you can, if you have a coffee pot that grinds them themselves,
yeah.
he'll do that for you.
Yeah. I've got a little grinder that, and I grind my own on weekends.
Boy, it's nice, too, when it's freshly ground, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's I make a cup of what we call weekend coffee. You make it nice and strong like a... Like a,
right.
like you'd make a latte
make it so
or something.
The spoon stands up in it.
That's right. That's the way we like it on the weekends, you know?
Yeah. Hey,
what
a
is that
caffeine
going?
Is good. Give us a lot of it.
What is that going there? You got...
Okay, I'm opening up the sweet potatoes. Got three cans of those.
All right. So we got two more to go, don't we, huh? All right.
Okay, dump that in there. There's one... I've got me a nice big trash bag in here in the kitchen for to
yeah.
catch all the debris that's coming out.
Got to have
that. I'm thinking here before I... Oh, the potatoes are boiling really nicely.
Now, our green bean casserole is where? In the oven? Did you stick
No, I've got it sitting off to the side.
Actually,
what I'm getting ready to do is pull out the turkey.
So we'll have room in the oven for her. Okay.
So drum roll, please. Yeah, I'm going to set him off, pull him out. Set the turkey up here on the stovetop.
Yeah, because the pot, bottom of the pan, the pot's going to be hot, bottom of that pan.
Yeah, I put it in a, I bought one of the aluminum roasting pans
mm-hmm.
at the store. Just because I don't have a big roasting pan to
Well, be
to
careful
roast
now, because they'll bend.
After I've moved 22 times, everything kind of...
Yeah.
You know, you move that roasting pan 42 times, and you, hey, I've never used that thing. I don't need it.
Well, but be careful of that aluminum pan. It'll bend now. We'd hate to lose this big bird.
Yeah, we don't want to do this. This nice big butterball.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
Oh, it smells delicious.
Does it?
Now, this is one of the smells that I still have.
One of the things you can still smell.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like you got rid of the offensive odors and kept
Yeah, I sure did.
Kept the good ones.
You know, it was kind of...
What a deal.
It worked out pretty well, if you ask me.
Really?
Anything that's... Phil and I were talking earlier. I was looking for some spices using that little voila scanner, and it seemed like every spice I was grabbing was the wrong one. Went through about half the cabinet before we finally found the nutmeg and the cinnamon.
Yeah, what a neat thing that is, though.
I'm sorry?
I may have to have one of those.
I tell you what, I think a lot of us need these. They're tried to work out a deal with them, but they don't give us much of a... The price break on them, we've got to order such a quantity to get a big price break on them. We've got to order like 200 of them.
To get a
price break down to $130 on them.
Yeah.
I was like, woo, okay, let's start taking orders, folks. But
yeah,
if anybody is interested in one of the Voilas, write me at info@blindmysmart.com or at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com.
Yeah.
Or contact Phil.
Yeah, and we'll let you know.
And if we can get a group of us together that to get these, we can get them at a little bit better price.
Well, count me in.
Okay.
All right.
I will do that.
Yeah, I'd like
Boy,
to have one of those.
Turkey smells delicious.
So you got it out on the stove yet? Got it out?
I've got him sitting resting up there, just resting right now. I'm going to just let him sit and rest for a few minutes before I cut the bag open.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and slide the green beans in.
All right. We haven't changed the oven temperature. We're still
Never
350.
Changed it.
Never changed it. Still at 350.
Yeah, leaving it pretty much at 350 the whole day long here.
All right.
All day long.
Green bean casserole.
Okay. How long did I say? About 25 minutes?
That's what you said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get those going out. With any luck, we can get the sweet potatoes done.
Yeah.
In about 10 minutes, get them in there together so everything will be coming out about the same.
All right, you said you want to let that turkey rest about 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, before you carve it, you want to let it rest just
for
15 minutes or so. And actually, if you do get your turkey does get done before everything else is done, or if you have limited space, so the turkey will have to get done first. Yeah, it's no problem to wrap it up in foil.
Yeah.
Or if you got to let it sit for a couple hours, wrap it in foil and newspaper to help insulate it and keep the heat in it, and it'll be just fine.
Yeah, should be. I like them cold anyway. I don't like hot turkey anyway. I like it too.
Yeah. What do you do with the leftovers, Tom? Do you have a favorite leftover recipe, Phil?
Well, my favorite turkey leftover recipe is just a sandwich with a little horseradish and turkey.
Right.
I love horseradish mustard. That's one of my favorite things to eat. So I always buy some at Thanksgiving, and then at night. Of course, we don't usually cook a turkey. We buy a smoked turkey.
Yeah.
We've been doing that for a number of years. We cook turkeys. I've cooked turkeys before, but there aren't enough of us left really to eat anymore. There's families scattered everywhere. So.
Yeah, we had a lot of little recipes coming in about, turkey sandwiches and turkey casseroles and, on the list you'll have to excuse me because I forgot who sent this in, but they take any leftovers, be it mashed potatoes, stuffing, and just layer it in a casserole.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes, turkey, stuffing, freeze it.
Yeah.
And then when they need a snack or a quick meal, pull it out of the freezer, pop it in the oven. And there they've got a beautiful leftover, casserole, turkey casserole leftover thing.
That would work, I would think. Mashed potatoes and mix it all together, casserole.
Okay, and the sweet potatoes here, we're going to throw in a half a stick of butter.
All right.
We're going to throw in a half a teaspoon of cinnamon. We're also going to throw in a half a teaspoon of salt.
All right.
And a half teaspoon of nutmeg.
This is in the sweet potatoes.
Yeah, this is all in the sweet potatoes.
And we got these potatoes are still we're still boiling.
The baked potatoes, the mashed potatoes are still over there boiling away.
Still lightly boiling. Turn them down, let them simmer.
Yeah, turn them down just a little bit.
Yeah.
I need to make sure I get to them.
Yeah, before they get too soft.
Yeah, you don't want to boil them all the way.
No, you don't. They'll get
do like a friend of mine one night. He was going to make him some boiled eggs, and of course it was late, and he'd been out having fun with his friends, and came in, put the eggs on the boil, and passed out, and boiled all the water off of them. The next sound he heard was the lid blowing off the top, and the eggs exploding all over his ceiling. Needless to say, Mama wasn't happy.
Yeah, I did a pot pie like that one, and I put it in the oven and went to bed, and next morning I got up, there was nothing left but the shell of the pot pie. Just a little thing, it just disintegrated.
Those things do make a mess, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But, eggs would be worse than that. Eggs.
Oh, those eggs were, and the stench, I imagine, was just terrible, but we kidded him for a long time about that.
I've got the neatest thing for boiling eggs. You find them in blind catalogs. It's called Henrietta. And it's a deal that's made for boiling eggs, and you put water in the bottom of it. It'll hold 7 eggs, and when it boils dry, it whistles, and you know that your eggs are boiled.
That is excellent.
Depending on how much water you put in it, whether you want them soft or medium or hard-boiled, and when it whistles, well, you know to take them out that your eggs are done. I use it all the time. It's
that is great. That's like the rice cooker that I got off of, the one that we sell at Blind Mice Mart.
Uh-huh.
It'll steam vegetables or, rice or anything like that, but it does the same thing. It's set up with the pan inside that with water in it, it weights it down, and there's a little switch in the bottom that depresses. Once the pan lightens or, the water evaporates, it raises and switches to a warm mode. So it keeps everything in there warm, be it rice or whatever we've got.
But it's done, but it's steamed.
But it's done, yeah.
That'd be darn. Now, that'd be neat.
That automatic stuff is nice, because before I used to just do rice that was in the bag.
Yep.
The old boiling bag success rice trick.
Sure, it'll work.
Okay, I'm mashing up these sweet potatoes. I think we're going to add a little milk to these, too, to
little thick.
Get the consistency down a little bit.
Yeah.
Make them a little smoother.
Wow, so they're a little thick, huh?
Yeah, they're a little thick and kind of breaking apart a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Which I couldn't find my masher. Actually, I haven't seen that for quite a while. Again,
really?
Since I moved.
They're cheap. Go buy another one.
Yeah, that's it. Just, the problem is just remembering the doggone thing when you're at the store.
Yeah.
you always went, oh yeah, I needed that.
That's why you have that little recorder and you make your
right.
grocery list. That's why. That's...
Yeah, this little recorder that Phil and I keep talking about. It's a little Olympus, and Phil and I actually Phil showed it to me when I was up for a blind weekend one weekend up there.
Now this is we're going to talk about one thing we don't sell on Blind My Smart.
That's right. Actually, we do.
Oh, do you have
Oh, we will. We will.
Well, you should.
I'm expanding my line. I'm teamed up
you
with
should.
Ann Morris.
Yeah, you should have these.
And we're going to start covering, we're going to start putting a lot of her products online through Blind My Smart as well.
That's good.
So, yeah, just more access, I really think, will do us all good. But these little recorders, folks, they're digital, and they're so easy to operate. Just push buttons, and you can record notes to yourself, phone numbers. Shopping lists, recipes, anything like that.
Yeah. Now
and they
you,
will.
You have the model with four little folders on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it sure does. It's got the different folders, and then,
yeah.
I think this one that I've got will even take pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, mine won't do that, but I don't need to take any pictures.
This one I got was. It was one that would allow us to hook up to the computer and download.
Okay.
That I wanted to use.
So you bought a more expensive model.
Yeah. This
yeah.
one was, I think, $99.
Mm. Well, mine just records, and it has three usable folders, and it goes one, beeps twice for the second one, three times for the third one. And so I keep different things in different folders, like instructions for operating equipment I keep in folder two.
Right.
And if I'm working on an album, I keep the order of the songs and the length of the songs and that kind of stuff in folder three. And in folder one, I just use general messages, phone numbers, and whatever. They're very handy. And you can buy one as cheap as like $59 at Circuit City.
Yeah, in fact, I got mine at Circuit City.
That's Circuit City's where
yeah.
I got mine, yeah.
That was really great. But gosh, I've used it so much for everything.
Yeah, it has a lock-off switch where you can lock it, and you can carry it in your pocket with it locked like that.
Okay, our sweet potatoes are ready. We're going to just put these in a casserole dish.
All right.
And I think what I'm going to do is put marshmallows over the top of them.
All right, you going to bake them like that?
Yeah, bake them like that with the marshmallows. That way the marshmallow will kind of melt.
Sure.
One tip O. Henry said on the list was, hey, make sure you don't put the marshmallows too close to the top oven warmer, you know, the top oven.
Yeah, because they'll burn.
To the burning, the heating element. Yeah.
Sure they will.
Have a little, start with a, you don't need the firemen coming to Thanksgiving dinner, too.
Yeah, that will not be good. But
no, that won't be good at all. All right, so let me slide those into the oven here. Great. Okay. How are we doing on time, Mr. Farr?
So we got green beans and this sweet potatoes in the oven now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see where we are. We are... We're about 27 minutes into the show, and
okay.
So it won't be long, 3 or 4 minutes, and you can look at the turkey if you want to.
Sure
it's been
can.
Almost 15
in fact,
minutes.
I was kind of goofing with the bag right now. I want to do a gravy for us.
Okay.
Which is it's just a pan dripping gravy. So what we're going to be doing is taking about two cups of pan drippings out of the turkey, putting them in a saucepan. To that, we're going to add about 3 3/4 cups of either chicken broth or turkey broth, you know, out of a can,
uh-huh.
Or you can use a combination of the turkey and chicken broth and milk, or you can use just all milk. But basically, you want to look at about 3 1/2 to 3 3/4 cups of another broth or water.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in with the pan drippings. Add to that about 1/2 cup of flour.
All right.
Salt and pepper to taste. About a quarter teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper.
Mm-hmm.
You want to heat that, stirring it, bringing it to a boil. Once it starts to boil, turn it down and let it simmer for about 10 minutes or so.
And thicken
that's up. That's all there is to the gravy.
And it'll thicken up a little bit.
And it'll thicken up. The longer it sits, the more it'll thicken up for you.
Yeah.
Now, with the if you wanted to use the giblets, you could have boiled those like we talked about earlier. Could have boiled the giblets along with some onion and celery and parsley and use that stock. If you would have done that, you would have brought it to a boil. and then turned it, covered it, and turned it on to a simmer for about an hour and a half to make the stock. Then you would have strained it and reserved that broth in the refrigerator until you're ready to use it to make your gravy with.
Now, your pan drippings will be, the bag is porous and they came through. How did they?
They're actually still contained in the bag.
They're actually in the bag.
Yeah, yeah. The material of this bag is that it's almost like a big trash bag.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's metallic in color. Mm-hmm. You know, so that it is kind of like a foil type bag, because even when I've used other cooking bags, they've still suggested you cook at the regular temperature for the turkey.
So when you're going to untie the bag, and then you're just going to slip the bag off of the turkey.
Yeah, actually what I'm going to do at first, I'm going to slip the bag so that I can get down to the pan drippings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them down here. In fact...
Would you just cut the bag open?
Phil, because I want to keep this covered for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to slip the bag, because I do have it in an aluminum pan. Slip the bag and see if I can pour it into a bowl.
With the turkey still in the bag, the pan? Oh, man, that's
good. Well, I'm not going to raise it up. I'm kind of going to cheat. I'm going to penetrate the bag down at the bottom and let it drain into the pan that it's sitting on.
That's what I'd do.
But because I've got it sitting on the oven here, the cooktop, I'm going to set it to where it actually kind of hanging over one side of the burner.
I got you. And then you're just
tilted.
Then you're just going to bend the pan down or tilt it or what?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of let, so that way the broth will come down to one area that I can get into.
Yeah, this is a dangerous business, folks.
Try this at home. It's a must.
I don't know. I might have lifted the turkey out and then dumped the pan drippings.
Yeah, once these drippings come out, I'll just stick my measuring cup down in there to pull them out.
Yeah.
So that won't be that big of a deal. Okay, there we go. We've made an incision. Here they come.
Here they come, pouring out.
Yeah, they're running out.
All good. Well, you've got a pan. It'll catch them.
As long as they don't run out on the floor, we're all right. Otherwise, I'll be in the doghouse
so,
and getting any of this.
Well, your pan is deep enough that they won't, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that's a nice deep. The side of this, it's a turkey roasting pan. You know, it's made out of foil, though.
Yeah.
I think it was a couple bucks or a buck and a half, something like that. It was nice and cheap. All right, so our baked potatoes they're ready to be mashed up.
Yes, they are.
I'm going to go ahead and just put those on hold since I'm sure everybody kind of knows how to do that in case we don't run out of time. But the mashed potatoes, simply what you want to do is drain the potatoes, and if you want to use a colander, that'd probably be the quickest and easiest way to do it. And it's suggested that they get returned to the pan and cook them again. I mean, put them back on the burner for about 30 seconds, and that'll help eliminate or dry up any moisture that may still be left in the pan or in the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then add your butter, mix them with your electric mixer, and then add about up to a third to a half a cup of milk to make them nice and creamy. And then, if you would like, if you're not ready for dinner, just hang on. You can spoon them into a microwave-safe dish. Put them in the microwave for about 30 seconds covered.
And you're gone.
Pull them out. Yeah, pull them out, stir them up, heat them for about another 15 seconds, and they're ready to be taken to the table.
You bet.
Because sometimes it's kind of hard to get everything ready exactly at the same time and get everybody at the table at the same time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or if you make a whole bunch of mashed potatoes, like we use 3.5 pounds of russet for these, and this will serve probably about 6 people. So if you got more people, less people, you can adjust the recipe that way, or heck, if you have leftovers, put them, make a casserole out of them.
Well, nobody cares, yeah.
Exactly.
Make that,
leftovers are always good.
Make that casserole.
I like leftovers especially because that's just a day that I don't have to cook.
Yeah.
All righty.
All right, we're
so we went to the Renaissance Festival a couple weekends ago.
Did you now?
And for all y'all that are, I'm sure there's probably a Renaissance Festival somewhere in your area or town.
You'd think so, yes.
But the one here in Texas is kind of unique because the grounds are on about 60 acres, and it's pretty big, but it gets better every year. They put more and more, the money they make off of it and the revenues they go to improving it. And, heck, I can remember going a long time ago back when I was in high school, and they had porta-potties, but, hey, they've got indoor plumbing now.
I didn't go this year. My Luann took my couple of my grandchildren and a couple of their friends, but I've been, but I didn't go this year. What's new there?
next time you go, Phil, go back to where the weapons are at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the only place where a blind guy can get a bow and arrow for $2 or...
Did you?
Yeah, sure did.
You bought
them? I didn't get the bow and arrow this year, but I got the... I went to where the throwing axes were at. And the old boy said, hey, I don't think... What I'm doing right now, y'all, besides talking about the Renaissance, is scooping out about 2 cups worth of these pan drippings from this turkey.
Time to make some gravy, yeah. Yeah.
But we got to where the throwing axes were at, and the old boy says, I don't think I can give you an axe. And I said, well, I think you've got to give me an axe. And I
did
said,
he?
By the way, while you're at it, go up there in front of the target and clap for me so I know where to throw it to.
Did he?
Yeah, he sure did. He was looking over his shoulder the whole time, though, and he ran and clapped in front of there and then got the heck out of the way. Man, this guy's crazy. He didn't know what, hey.
He clapped in front of the target, then he jumped out of the way.
Went up and clapped so I could, hear where the target was. And then he got out of the way, and I visually, saw it in my mind and started flinging those axes.
How did you do?
I came about 6 inches from hitting dead center bullseye on 2 of them.
Is that right?
If it would have been medieval times, I would have slowed them down. I might have taken somebody out, but I would have slowed them down enough to keep them from taking the castle all in one shooting match,
That's pretty good. Now, that's something I've never done, is a throwing
axe. It was a lot of fun.
What do they look like? What is a throwing axe?
It feels just like a hatchet.
Yeah?
Like a hatchet that you would, chop up firewood or something with.
Yeah.
And they were balanced really nicely, but they have, Chinese throwing stars there, all kinds of things. The bow and arrow thing's kind of tough for me to use because they've got a big shielded area, kind of like a safety roofing area over where you shoot at, so you can't shoot the arrows up in the air or anywhere. You got to stay, shoot down at the target area.
Yeah.
So I've got to always get down on my knees to kind of take aim and shoot. So that's kind of tough. But
now these throwing axes, they don't have a handle on them.
Yeah, they sure do.
Oh, it's an actual.
Not a long handle, not like you would find on a sledgehammer or something.
Uh-huh.
The handle on it, it's more like a hammer.
And you grab it where to throw it?
At the handle.
And
kind of like if you were had a claw hammer in your hand,
uh-huh.
Just like you'd be hammering a nail in. They're about the same, except on the top of them, they have, it's like a hatchet. They were a lot of fun.
And this sticks in something when you throw it.
Usually they've got like a big, like a 3 or 4 foot diameter of a tree up there, or a bunch of boards, pine. 2x6s, 2x12s, all put next to each other to make a target that you throw at.
I've never done that. I guess I'll have to go next year.
That's one thing I like about the Renaissance. All right, let's go.
I'll have to meet you there next year.
Have to do that because that's kind of like meeting in the middle right there.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Be about as far as
a turkey leg and a nice cold beer and head for the weapons.
Has the rain gotten to you yet out there?
Yes, it has.
Oh, man, we had it.
It came through. I was taking Kelsey out in between breaks, and, he stood there with his legs crossed. I'll go out later, man.
Yeah, it's bad news. We're just about to move through here. We're starting to cool off a little bit.
Oh, good. Good. We'll take that.
So you
the last cold front we had came through and lasted for maybe half a day, and it was back up in the 80s the next day.
Wasn't much to it, was it?
No, sure wasn't. All right, we've got our broth. I've added the flour to it and the salt and pepper. And it's kind of sitting here just simmering away. So while it goes, I'm going to go ahead and let it come up to a boil and then turn it down and cover it. The potatoes I've turned down to very low.
All right.
Just to kind of let them wait. And I think we're ready to probably open up this turkey bag and look at this turkey, everybody. Now, when it comes to carving a turkey, there's no reason why we can't do it. One thing I'm going to do when I take the turkey out, I've got a bowl sitting here. I'm going to spoon out the stuffing that's in him.
Yeah.
Get most of it out. I'm going to cut that little band of skin at the back that has his legs tucked up in, so his legs will come out free.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will cut around his legs, just cut the skin around his legs, then you can slide the tip of your knife up in between where his leg and his body meet. And you'll actually be able to feel the little leg joint there. And you should be able to just flip it with the tip of your knife and remove his legs, his drumsticks,
and
pretty easily.
They'll come right off, you think?
They'll come right out.
Yeah.
Then if you will find where his wings are at, actually stick a fork in his wing to hold him. make a horizontal cut. That's, you know, parallel to your countertop.
Yeah.
On just above his wing, all the way into his breastbone. So you're actually slicing into the turkey straight in. Do that on both wings, or just do it on one breast, depending on how you're going to start serving it. And then you can stick your fork in a piece of breast and just cut straight down the breast.
Cut
just
how?
Like you're slicing off a piece of bologna off of a big hunk of bologna.
Okay.
And by cutting that horizontal cut at the bottom, as you cut down and through, that piece of meat will just fall right off. And just keep that process until you get to the center of the bird, and then, you know, start on the other breast.
Yeah.
But there's not that, you know, carving the turkey, it's pretty easy. And, you know, there's great tips. Again, I've mentioned this before, that Butterball donated the turkey to us, and I'm so thankful for them for doing that. Thanks to everybody at Butterball and such for giving us a turkey to do on the show today. And they have their website, www.butterball.com, is just full of great tips, great recipes, great ideas on how to do everything. And again, their helpline, if you get in a jam, you have any questions, call them, 1-800-BUTTERBALL. They are super polite, super nice, and actually they're paid to help you cook your bird. So if it's a question about carving, if it's a question about thawing or defrosting, if it's a question about how to bake it, how to baste it, the best way to cook it or bake it, give them a holler, because they are they're there for you, and they're very helpful.
Now,
real good about helping me out.
carving a turkey might not be something a blind person would want to do at the table. But I suppose you could, had you practiced. I wouldn't try it first time at the table.
No, yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things I think that we can, I don't think it would be that hard to do. Now, I use the same idea, I mean, the same technique on a chicken, you know, that we had a few days ago. I smoked a chicken out there. Let me try this. And sure enough, it carved up pretty easily, you know, pretty well. Of course, it was a much smaller piece of meat to cut off and carve. But, I think by just using those little techniques there, you can cut the bird up without it actually looking like it was done with a machete or something.
Well, we're down now to getting down on time here, so we're not going to have time. There'd be no way we could run over all the recipes.
No, for everybody listening, I think what we can do is just kind of go over what we made today.
We started off
early today by getting the turkey ready, and we did two stuffings. Actually, the stuffings I made ahead of time before we went on the air. One was an all-American, all-cooking-in-the-dark apple, sausage, mushroom stuffing. The other was a crock-pot stuffing. We also made a key lime pie. We made a chocolate raspberry almond cheesecake. We also made a pecan pie. And then our side items were the green bean casserole, the sweet potatoes, and also the mashed potatoes. So everything, all these recipes, everybody, will be online at www.blindmicemart.com. Click on Cooking in the Dark, and it'll have all the recipes listed there if anybody wants to copy them, look at them. And again, these recipes are just a guideline. If there's something you want to add, do something a little different. These mashed potatoes, if you want to make them cheesy potatoes, if you want to make them garlic cheesy potatoes, it's all there. It's just so easy to do. Just get inventive, and after you do it, let us know how you did it.
That's what I was going to say. If something works for you, be sure and share it with your brethren
call us and invite us to dinner, huh, Phil? We can be there, man.
I got to do it. I had leftover squash and a couple of fruit Newtons for lunch. That was it. I've got a little piece of ham in there. I'm going to go eat as soon as we get through.
All right.
And I'm going to have some soup for supper. And I'm going to be down below 200 before Mama cooks that dressing this Thanksgiving.
You're going to need it. That's one thing about Thanksgiving. Wear those loose-fitting pants and undo the top button after dinner.
Yeah, that's true.
And get a soft, comfortable couch just in time to watch the football game at, you know, because I don't know what it is about turkey, but it makes you go to sleep.
How about those rolls? We didn't make it with those.
The rolls aren't going to make it. I believe the flour was the wrong type of flour, because they are still, they're actually coming up, they're real sticky in touching them. They haven't done any growing, expanding at all. They actually feels like, gosh, almost like a bad Bisquick batter.
Yeah.
So I'm believing that the flour that they gave me was the wrong type of flour. I don't think it was self-rising flour. That's the only guess I can make.
That's the only thing I could think of that would...
So, you know, as a standby, what we've got are those heat and serve rolls.
Those brown and serve rolls?
Yeah, those brown and serve.
I love brown and serve rolls.
They're delicious, and there's nothing to them. They're really good. But that's about it for the show today, folks. You know, being Thanksgiving, I want to especially thank Phil for producing the show and helping us do it, and for everybody out there that listens and everybody that's on the list with us. You know, this is the time of year when it's time to be thankful to everybody and stop and think about what you're doing and try to make tomorrow a better day.
Yeah, and if you're not on the list, it's very easy to get on the list, and you ought to be on it.
Send an email to cooking-in-the-dark-subscribe@topica.com.
Yeah.
Topica is TOPICA.com. And then to post, it's just simply cookinginthedark@topica.com. But once you send that subscription request, you'll get a verification back that you'll need to respond to. Respond to that, and then you'll get a welcome message, and it kind of introduces you to the list. And you're on the list. You'll be getting all kinds of messages. We've got folks as far away as Australia, New Zealand, spread out all across the United States from California to Maine.
Well, they may not do Thanksgiving down there, but they eat.
They eat.
You know,
yes,
so
they do.
And
we've got many, many great recipes and tips and techniques from our friends down under. And what's really odd is that we've been finding there's a lot of the same products, but they all have different names.
Oh, is that right?
You know, kind of like an elevator in England is a lift.
Mm-hmm.
And over here it's an elevator.
I need to do somebody on Blind Like Me from a foreign country. That's one thing I haven't done.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. There's you know, Andrew and Joe and Maggie and Danny down under. I know they're folks that post a lot to the list. Hi to y'all.
Well, let me
happy Thanksgiving to us.
Get straight with the phone bill so it won't cost me an arm and a turkey leg.
Yeah. Save those turkey legs. They're necessary and they're valuable. Right. They're valuable.
We're going to go and we'll visit with you in a day or two. This hopefully will be archived before Thanksgiving if anybody wants to go back and listen and download it or whatever they want to do.
Fantastic.
Hopefully we'll get it archived. Thank you, Dale.
Hey, Phil. Thank you, sir. Thanks to the Blind Handyman for letting us have their spot this week. And everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Cooking in the Dark, I'm Dale Campbell. We'll see y'all next month.